You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Welcome to Breadline from the Australian Unemployed Workers Union on Community Radio 3CR.
So put down that job plan and listen to us.
I'd first like to acknowledge that this program is being broadcast from the lands of the Wurundjeri of the Kulin Nation. So their sovereignty was never ceded, and we want to pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging. And we also acknowledge that the unfairness of the welfare system disproportionately affects First Nations people.
Hello, everybody. My name is Daryl.
And I'm Jessica.
And I'm Hank.
And welcome back to another high, effervescent, eye-blinding and ear-bending episode of The Breadline Show. Brought to you by the Australian Unemployed Workers Union here on 3CR Community Radio, 8:55 a.m. on your dial or online at 3cr.org.au in full, high-quality 4K monophonic sound. And if you have problems with your job provider, get onto our website at auwu.org.au and there you will find information that hopefully will be of some help to you. Okay. Are you sick of being forced to do meaningless work for the dole? Coming in for pointless job provider appointments? Being disrespected by your consultant? Not being told of your rights? And worst of all, your dog has run off? Well, if you're community-minded and you like helping others, then come and join us at the Australian Unemployed Workers Union. We're looking for more volunteers to help us keep this show running.
And also to help out on the advocacy line, which gives peer-to-peer support for people.
Yes, exactly. That's the most important part. That's the best part of the union where you can call in. Yeah, but we just need volunteers to come in and man that. I've done that for a few years myself. And
is that eight? That's 8 years, isn't it?
Eight years. And as I tell you, it's nothing more satisfying than saving someone from having their benefits cancelled or suspended or something.
No. Yeah, so on the weekend we had a good training session of a few people who are willing to help out.
Some
people want to help out by answering emails. Other people want to get on the line. And, so we're hopeful we can get the phone number running again very shortly.
Yeah, but we still need more people. Because there's a lot of work to be done there. And the people,
we have to spread the load.
Yeah, because the people we got there now, they're working so hard. It's almost a full-time job for them. Incredible.
And, Hank's in the studio to tell us some news which comes from a very high level, I've heard.
Yes, the high level is the 12th floor in a public housing block, which is being threatened with demolition.
Only the 12th?
I'm on a 12th floor. My building is that's the highest floor.
Yeah, Hank's on the 12th floor.
Oh, right, so there's nothing above that then. So they're getting rid of one floor at a time.
Well, if only. No, they're trying they've already started with some buildings like in
Barrack Beacons.
Well, Barrack Beacons they did. But also like the first ones are like in Flemington and up that.
Really? So that's the thin edge of the wedge, really.
Well, they're doing it one. But even in my building, which is not slated to be knocked down in the near future.
All right.
Already getting stuff in the mailbox like, we're here to help you relocate and look after you and blah, blah, blah. Oh. So they're already trying to get the idea to get people to move out because, if it's empty, it's
just like running down a service, which I experienced under Thatcher, where they'd make the service unreliable so less people would use it. Then they've got an excuse to close it down. In your case, they want people to move.
Doing that with the high-rise buildings and probably like other public housing buildings of not maintaining them as well as they should.
Yeah.
To say, oh, well, these buildings are no good.
Yeah.
But there are, if you don't mind me saying, there are studies by really well-qualified architects to show that it would be actually much, much cheaper. I mean, we're talking up to 70% cheaper to refurbish the buildings and knock them down. So then the question is, well, if they have this advice, why do they want to knock them down?
Doesn't make sense, does it?
Well, it does make sense if you know that the mates of the people who make the decision are ones that are going to make a hell of a lot of money out of
Yeah, there's always, plus, as I always say, follow the money.
Well, I mean, they want to knock them down and they say, oh, they're going to replace them with community housing. And that's a bit confusing because, oh, it sounds good, community or social housing, but it's not the same because they're privately owned.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there are conditions on community housing. I know from my experience down in Wonthaggi. And, for example, sometimes people have to go on courses or else they don't have a tenancy.
Yeah.
For example.
A course? What kind of course?
Oh, kind of course if you've got addictions or whatever. So the idea is that you haven't automatically got the right to a safe, warm place to live, which is comfortable. You've only got that on the condition that you will jump through a few hoops. Yeah. So
there's no security of tenure.
No.
You could be chucked out as they would like a private landlord would do. Mm-hmm. Also, of course, rent is 25% of our income in public housing. Mm. And in community housing, it's
30%.
It'll be 30%. Yeah. Mm. So, and by the way, shouldn't everybody's rent be at least no more than a quarter of their income to start with?
Exactly, yeah.
So, bit of a rally.
Yeah, so there's a rally on, and I mean, that's just a little bit of background, but I'd like to add one more thing. We're in the middle of a housing crisis.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like all the things that they've been doing for years and years and years as policies haven't worked, except for one thing. Public housing.
Yeah.
That's what keeps the price of housing down. That's what keeps the demand down. That's what keeps people ultimately off the street, not living on the street, homeless.
I'd like to think that we're in the middle of the housing crisis, but something tells me we're yet to see the worst. I don't know what it is. But...
Well, it probably will get worse. I mean, if they get rid of all this public housing, it will get worse.
Yeah.
For sure. You know, and there's solutions that are like give to say, oh, well, we'll subsidise rents. Well, that's just giving
money to the landlord.
That's giving money to the we'll subsidise first home buyers so more people can own a home. It just pushes the demand up so that the price goes up. So it all goes into the pockets of banks or landlords. It's not helping anybody. So this rally, I could go on and on and on. So I'll just say this rally starts at 11 a.m. It's on the 2nd of August, so pretty close. It starts at the State Library where there's going to be some speakers from who are residents. And probably most speakers who are residents are going to be in the ones of the buildings that are going to be knocked down sooner. And then, but of course, good thing for all the 3CR radio listeners, everybody knows Uncle Robbie Thorpe. He will be the first speaker. So you've got to get down to listen to him.
So be on time.
That's right. And then we're going to march down to Homes Victoria, where different organisations like Safe Public Housing Collective, Rahu, other organisations fighting for housing are going to speak. And at the end, it ends up at Parliament and there will be some politicians who are opposed to demolishing the buildings.
There you go. Right. Well, I'm definitely, you've sold me. I'm coming in from Wonthaggi.
Yay! On
the bus. I'll be there as well. With my RUWU scarf and everything.
That's the way.
Yeah.
Excellent.
You're listening to a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned to hear the rest of your 3CR podcast.
Now, Jessica, you got something, you have a bug problem or something?
Well, not personally, no.
No?
Now, if listeners listened last week, Caitlin and I were talking about these bugs in the system. Social Security system, or the system that pays people and, of course, has the punitive mutual obligations tied in with it. So, I've got now a bit more detail about these bugs. So this is an interesting statement by the Economic Justice. It's called Economic Justice Australia, and it's the peak organisation for community legal centres who provide specific advice to people on social security. And so they say their vision is for a fair social security system. So, interesting. Mm. They've done a bit of a strong statement here. But they're saying that right now there are three reviews underway. Not just one, not two, three reviews. So it sort of shows to me that there's a little bit of a sort of disturbance in the force, a little bit of a disturbance in the bureaucracies.
Not fixing these bugs up as they come to light, are they? They just let them bang up.
They actually leave them for years.
For years,
Three IT bugs and one major administrative failure were identified by the Secretary of the Department of Employment and Workplace Relations. So together they reflect institutional neglect of best practice. This is the statement. In administration and review, while people affected have suffered harmful losses of Social Security payments. So the three bugs affected more than 1,300 participants and caused nearly 1,800 incorrect penalties. The first one...
Number one.
Yeah, yep. Number one was reported in the media in 2024, but it was identified in 2022. So just as we said, for 2 years it was there, penalising people unfairly, but they did nothing about it. Yeah. And then COVID happened, but then they got away with just leaving that, or just mutual obligations resumed in 2021, but the bug wasn't addressed until 2023, when it was rediscovered. So, and the participants who should have exited a penalty zone is when people are getting their reduced payments because they're supposed to have done something and they've got a penalty point, a bit like if you drive a car, you get penalty points. Anyway, the whole system is just vicious. But instead, so they but kept they, on they, getting they, penalties, even though they hadn't actually, they were meant to have, be free of them.
So, can I just say, 1,300 people, what period was that up to?
Let's have a look. Between 2022 and 2024.
So in that period, they caused harm.
Yes.
If you have your payments cut off.
You might get kicked out of where you live.
You get kicked out of where you live. You can't buy food. If you don't have people to help you out, you're in big trouble. So where's their penalty?
Yeah, that's right.
Where's their penalty for hurting all those people?
Anyway.
That really helps you get a job too, getting thrown out in the street.
That's right.
But they're getting penalties for things that's out of their control. Yeah.
So do you want to hear about the second bug?
Yeah,
it emerged from policy changes and coding errors while they were fixing the first bug. So it failed to properly exit participants from the penalty zone. In other words, they stayed in being penalised.
Yeah.
The third one allowed participants to enter the zone with only 4 applied demerits instead of 5. So that was not identified until May this last year, which means it took 4 years to discover a bug that contradicted the rules of the framework. And that affected 88 participants who received 159 incorrect penalties. As Hank said, those people had harm from it, from these bugs inside. So the second administrative failure, apart from the bugs, which resulted in 986 cancellations, they were for before payments were reduced or cancelled, the decision maker was meant to consider whether a person had an excuse for not meeting a requirement. And there's a whole list of excuses, of course, perfectly legit: illness, medical appointments, caring responsibilities, transport problems, extreme weather, and family and emergencies and safety concerns. But they didn't consider any of these. They just pretty much went ahead and put these demerit points in. So, I remember when I first heard about this, I thought, this is outrageous. How dare they start penalising people and reducing their payments? And they got away with it, bringing in the system, and even the punitive system they brought in doesn't even work.
And it's always, like I said before, it's always for something that's out of their control.
Yeah.
Or some silly reason.
The only,
reason,
I suppose, good thing out of these stats is that a lot of the people who had their payments suspended were actually, they were reinstated. But that, of course, doesn't it still means that people were under all that stress from having the suspension.
Are they recompensed? Are they given back what the money they should have had, for example?
Yeah, or stress. Stress
and
money.
And stress, yeah.
Compensated.
Yeah. Yeah.
So because of all these reviews, which, we talked about a bit last week, so I don't want to sort of drive you mad by going on about them, but the interesting thing is that the three separate reviews are happening, and that meanwhile the Commonwealth Ombudsperson investigation were looking into the legality and quality of the TCFs, and they're expecting a public report this month. So,
what a TCF, sorry?
The Targeted Compliance Framework. It's just there.
Does that mean mutual obligation?
Yeah, it's basically that.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was sort of, my heart was slightly warmed by the end of this statement, which says that this economic justice group says that their position is that this whole framework should be abolished and the system's problems are fundamental rather than technical. So I thought that was a good overview, which, again, as a legal body, they tend to work in legalese, but I thought that was a good thing to say. And it's what we've been saying all along, that mutual obligation should be abolished.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah. The whole thing I don't like about it is that they're always aiming towards people, like it's saying for people to force them to look for work and get a job. That's what the whole system's set up for. And every time you hear, you get a letter or an email from a job provider or Centrelink, they always got to put that threat in. You know, if you don't do this or you don't do that, look out, we'll stop your payments or something.
Yeah.
But after working with the union for over 8 years, I've never met anyone that's trying to get out of work.
Yeah, that's right. They're just trying to get the basic money in to pay the rent, pay the bills, and, survive in this system, which is inherently corrupt.
But, I mean, that thing to say, oh, you're not looking hard enough for work, or you have to prove you're looking for work, blah, blah, blah. I mean, that's the excuse for setting up a system that punishes people because there's the other side of it. When you've got gig economy, it's not like the old days when people had a job, right?
Mm.
So when you've got people who have to like go to a boss who might call them tomorrow or might not call them tomorrow,
and you know
that you are going to get really punished if you have to go on the dole, it makes you put up with stuff that you really shouldn't, like unhealthy working conditions and bad pay that you shouldn't have. I mean, I think there's not a good reason, but there's a pretty clear reason why they do that, but they don't say that's why they do that.
No.
Yeah.
But, when Hank was talking about the gig economy, I started thinking about gigs and, like, more cheery stuff. We've been very negative about the whole system, grinding people down. And, I'm happy to say down in Wonsaggi I've got some gigs coming up. I'm organising an open mic night. So, and so you've also been doing some gigs, Hank.
Yeah, I did one for the Solidarity Breakfast program fundraiser here, which was really important and had a great turnout, and it's good for 3CR.
That's the Saturday morning program, isn't it?
That's the Saturday morning current affairs show.
Yeah, I listened to that.
Yeah,
they've got really good info. I think they've been doing it for a long time, Solidarity Breakfast.
Oh, it's a really
good show. It's hard-hitting. I was listening to it on Saturday, actually.
But, hardcore. Geeks.
Yeah, that's right, The world situation, yes. But also, positive stuff as well. But, I just wanted to throw that in about music, because music can cheer you up.
Mm.
And are you going to have anyone playing at this housing rally, do you know?
We're going to have a meeting tomorrow and I'll ask.
Bring it up because a bit of
feisty. I reckon we should have some hip-hoppers.
Yeah.
From the Collingwood studio.
That's right.
In the
that would
high
be
rise
great.
There. Yeah, yeah.
Because there's nothing that sort of like talks all very well, but a poem or some music that gets you in the heart, really.
Mm.
Yeah.
So that's about, is that about us?
Yep. That's it. That's the end of the show. All right. Thanks for joining us. Don't forget, we'll be back again next week, same time. Stay tuned for the Eritrean Voice show coming right up. Okay. Goodbye, everyone. Bye.
See ya.
Bye. You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.